All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of the Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio. Wow, everything sounds really crisp now, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
I don't know what the hell I just did with the system.
Did,
we were a little screwed up coming in.
Don't botch it up.
Yeah, right? I can't wait. I'm going to turn or move or do something. I'm going to fuck everything up.
I'm laughing. I'd like to thank everybody, first of all, who follow me on Facebook Live. They just, when I said I had to get a shot, you know, I was like, "Don't start without me." So everybody starts saying,
He got a flu shot. Everybody, he got a flu shot. Everybody, Green Legion Radio is brought to you by our good friends at a Miller Lite Stateside Vodka, premium vodka, right here in beautiful Fishtown, Pennsylvania, distilled right from your Schuylkill River. Workhorse Brewing in King of Prussia, our good friend JP Lutz, Bucks County Baseball Company. The website is bigger than the showroom, and that is very difficult to achieve. Our good friend Mike McVeigh over at David Dodge Chrysler Jeep, the Green Legion Jeep, is in Diaz's hands now. We appreciate that.
All right.
Our good friends at all the Cavanaugh's restaurants, Ken Hutchings and Pat Pebblecheck, are good friends since college. You got Riverdeck, which will be open back when the weather warms up. Also, Cavanaugh's Head House off of 2nd and South. Cavanaugh's Rittenhouse on 18th and on Sansom Street between 18th and 19th. Check out our good friend Paul working the basement bar down there. And, of course, our old stomping ground, Diaz and I, when we went to Drexel, 39th and Sansom, the University City Cavanaugh's branch with Brian Pebblecheck up there. I'm ready to go to D's after this. That's why I don't have a hat on tonight.
I'm not opposed to it. I just work here.
All right. Well.
You know, this is me getting my work in.
Do not forget about our good friends over at Delilah's and the beautiful ladies working over there. Our many up friends at Bourbon Blue, the Bayou and Cactus, as well as the Bayou and Cactus' Love Child, the Manioc Sport and Social Club, the most social intramural sports leagues in the city. Also, our fitness friends at City Fitness, Ken Davies, Northern Liberties, Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, Logan Square, and East Market, and of course across the bridge, our friends at Echelon Health and Fitness, and our good friend Jeff Quinn over there. Our friend Jari Evans Restaurant in South Philadelphia, Somo Sophie, make sure you check that out. Our podcast and soon-to-be Fox partners.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Did I say that? Yes, I did. Sean Brace and Philly Influencer, his podcast, and 102.5 The Gambler. We will talk about that a little bit later. Good friends at 4th and John, E-Rock and the rest of the boys. It was good to have E-Rock in a couple weeks ago when he came in and helped us out that last week.
Yeah.
And, of course, our biggest sponsor, Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia. I never got an opportunity to thank Roger Falloon in the headquarters and our great friend of the program, Sean McGranahan, the general manager over there. Guy.
He's cool.
I mean, seriously, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just key.
They made everything go real smoothly, and we were able to pump out some quality shows.
Yeah, we were. Yeah.
Speaking of quality shows,
well, let's talk about who we got on the panel right now. Yeah. To my right, you know him as Pi. What the fuck is up with you two and your sunglasses?
I took mine off so I could read my some of my notes to you.
Because you didn't want me to talk about whether Morpheus took the red or the blue pill today?
Well, and then I want to see the questions of my people on
there we go.
I used to always wear mine. I kind of shied away from it for a while.
Well,
because you don't want to be that douchebag in the club.
Pops.
Wow, a lot of people.
Pops and his aviators. If you guys can't see, we got Pops right there. This is Hollis's brother, Samandrick. You can call him Pops. Famous from our good friends that financed this entire operation from Santander. Our good friend Josh Castro.
Here we are.
He's got a white claw.
white claw Wendy. It's an inside joke.
Don't worry, you're good.
You're good. We had the toughest guy in on our DC trip doing nothing except drinking white claw bus ride. I actually like white claw,
but he got trashed. I don't know.
Oh, he was a wreck.
No,
and. Nice. Number 78 in your program, number one in your hearts, 15-year NFL vet, 10 with your Philadelphia Eagles, number 78, Hollis Tank Thomas.
Good evening, folks. Good things. Mazel, mazel.
Hollis is actually going to be a very pivotal part of tonight's show because we're not going to have a show next week.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to be out of the country.
Hey, before we get into the show,
excuse me.
No.
I'm buttering you up right now.
Okay. I just want you to get to me because
I don't
want to
be in the room for no butter.
I just had a couple of things for you guys.
So. Well, hold on. All right. This is going to be our special Super Bowl edition.
Okay.
All right. We're going to talk. We're going to talk to somebody who was in a Super Bowl. Somebody who is going to tell you some stories that you have no clue took place. We're also going to have a little four-minute interview from Donovan McNabb.
That ordeal.
And the horse's ass that is number five will always love you.
That's right.
Jerk off.
I love him.
But
love
it should be a fun show, you guys. Yeah. And Diaz will be in a little bit later for the Diaz and Sackless show because Sack won't be here. Yep. But we obviously have enough panel to help that cause this evening. So sit back, enjoy your ride home, and get ready to start your weekend. Hollis, what happened today in sports history, dog?
Well, I got you. Today is January the 24th. It's the 24th day of the year, obviously. And there would be 341 left, but it's leap year, so there's 342 days left. So we're going to start with holidays. Today is National Peanut Butter Day.
Oh, my God, I thought you were going with something else.
Which one?
I heard P-E-N. And that
was... Well, no, it's like, well, today is also today is National Eskimo Pie Day.
Oh, my God, you're all food today.
Well, no, but what I was doing with the Eskimo Pie one was a guy in Iowa invented the Eskimo Pie, and he's not an Eskimo.
Bullshit.
Yeah, no, it's 1922.
Where are the liberals now?
In 1922, Christian Nelson of Iowa invented the Eskimo Pie.
Ah, Christian, yeah, white man, you're in trouble, dude.
Also,
you're taking it away from the Eskimos.
Today is Compliment Day.
Oh, Hollis, I love your shirt.
And Belly Laugh Day.
Josh, thanks for coming.
Now,
Pops, I appreciate you having a shot this time around.
Yeah.
Was that good? Did I get in a row? Yeah. I'm not giving Diaz any compliments.
No. Yeah. So we get some sports highlights, right? Some sports stuff now. 1947. The NFL adds, why they do this, I don't care. I don't know. They add a fifth referee, the back judge, who judges absolutely nothing, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And also they added the sudden death overtime.
Ah. Mm.
And then this is a day to live in infamy. In 1952, the very first team in Dallas, Texas, and it was not the Cowboys.
It was
the Texas
Rangers?
What were they called?
Oilers.
Was it the Oilers? It was in Dallas.
Josh, you could step up, baby. Hey,
it was in Dallas, Texas, but they were formerly the New York Yanks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Then also Bob Petty.
Yeah,
he was
it'll,
MVP.
It'll adjust pretty much.
You know who Bob Petty was, Pops?
Richard Petty's father?
No, Bob Petty. Bob Petty, he was a Pettit. He was a center for the St. Louis Hawks. St. Louis Hawks was an NBA team.
Yeah, they left in like 54 or 56 or something like that.
It was after 56, but he was the MVP of the All-Star game that year. I think he was the only St. Louis Hawk to ever accomplish. Only ever accomplished that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of that is a distant memory.
Yeah, very distant memory.
Yeah.
All right. That work for everybody?
Yeah, that's good. And then 1962.
Diaz, why are you watching? Get your ass in the studio.
I know
what's wrong with you.
In 1962, Jackie Robinson became the first African-American inducted to the Hall of Fame. Bob Feller.
Sweet.
Bob Feller, yeah. Oh, you know who we're going to have on in a couple weeks?
Who's that?
We're going to have MMA fighter local boy Paul Felder.
Oh.
MMA?
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I had one more.
Actually our neighbor. He lives right over here.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Yeah. Now I had this one for us wrestling fans. I don't know about you.
What's your favorite sport?
Wrestling. When WWF kind of became more prominent was when.
You said WWF?
Yeah, when it became more prominent.
When Hulk Hogan came in.
Exactly. 1983, on this day, Hulk Hogan pinned the Iron Sheik. He broke the Cobra Clutch.
The Iron Sheik was the Cobra Clutch.
Was it the Cobra Clutch?
I think so. Yeah.
It was the Cobra Clutch.
He broke.
I don't know. If we had our phone lines open, I'd let Rob Valivas call in and answer that.
And I got a couple of quick birthdays for us. 1942, Gary Hart of
the Hart Foundation.
Also 1941. Neil Diamond, I want to party with you, Neil.
All I know is this, Jimmy. Next Friday, August 29th at the Baton Rouge Exposition Center, I'm going to open a can of whoop-ass on Mercury, and I'm going to drive him back into whatever galaxy he came from. And that's a promise.
Strong words from a strong man, Captain Insano. Now let's take a call. It's our old friend from Jackson's Bayou, Mr. B.
Hello, Jim. Is it possible to speak to Captain Insano?
Shoot, Mr. B.
Captain Insano. I notice sometimes when you are wrestling or opening up a can of whoop-ass, as you like to say, you seem to be sweating quite profusely.
Yeah.
I was wondering if perhaps you might need the services of an experienced water boy.
That's pretty cute. How old are you, kid? 11? 12?
I am 31 years old.
that was a classic.
Classic. We also had also on the birthdays is Neil Diamond and Aaron Neville in 1941. 1949, one of my favorite comedians back in the day. Today's John Belushi's birthday.
My man.
Yeah, he was the man. 1967, my boy Chris Warren, he was here for a cup of coffee, the running back. Yeah. Also in 1967, Phil Lamar. You might remember Phil Lamar from Pulp Fiction, the one guy who got shot in the back of the car with Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta, the black guy. Say what again?
Say what again? What?
1968, Mary Lou Retton. 1979, actress Tatiana Ali.
All right.
And that's what we have this week. This day.
Thanks for those showstoppers.
You're forgetting about one more.
Who's that? Oh, yeah.
2001,
my nephew, Malcolm. Today's Malcolm's birthday. Malcolm Elbert. Today's his birthday.
Hey,
happy birthday, Malcolm.
He's
probably watching.
Real fast while we're on family.
Right.
I want to send a big shout out to my sister.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't heard, she had quite a little tumble that broke her wrist, back, and neck, and she's got a long road ahead of her. Connie, I love you to death, and I'll be there for you every step of the way. Yep. So, and everybody out there that reached out to her, I can't thank you enough. Yep. Just do me a favor. Keep doing it. Keep her fucking occupied.
Yeah.
Because the worst thing that can happen when you're in pain is when you have nothing to do.
Exactly.
So.
And on another lighter note, the day before yesterday was Hadia's, my daughter Hadia. Hadia, it's happy birthday. It's your dad.
Hadia, yes, happy birthday.
She tried to score 23 points. She only got 16. You'll get it next time. I'll be there next for the next game.
Hey. Let's go. Pick it up.
Now, let's kick to you and start talking about some of this Donovan shit.
Well, okay. Is it a good time to listen to this thing?
Yes, it's a great time to listen.
All right. First of all, we got a bunch of things to talk about.
Yeah.
I don't want to get off track, but we have three things I'd like to talk about before.
Okay.
And then we're going to go to break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about your Super Bowl experience because it's actually the only thing that's going to keep people interested right now. Fuck Fat Andy. I don't like the 49ers because we have to play them next year. If they actually win, we have to go into that stadium.
You see him. He's already probably good. You know, he's been a 49 fan forever.
Hang on a second. Okay. The door is right there.
I've always been a Joe Montana fan. And that's it. Just Joe Montana. I love Joe Montana.
Jerry Rice.
Roger Craig.
But Joe Montana. Joe Montana's my guy.
All right. So what we're going to talk about today before you start playing chess.
Okay, good things. Miles and miles.
We're going to talk about Antonio Brown's agent. And when that man decides to get rid of you.
Yes.
You know you're fucked.
Yeah,
you're
fucked. Yeah, you know you just all lost hope.
In addition to that, we are going to talk about the Saints. The Saints go hiding in.
Ooh.
Have you seen what happened there?
No, what happened?
Oh, boy.
About emails or something like that?
Oh, boy. It's going to get good. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about it on this segment. But in addition to that, we're going to talk about dumbass right here.
Let's talk about this because he keeps bringing it up.
Number five will always love you. 4 minutes. Here we go.
You know, he's doing sit-ups, you know, he's doing push-ups, he's playing basketball, he ordering pizza for the people out there. And we sitting there in training camp just like, you gotta be kidding me. Coming on in, my brother, how you feel?
Got a legend.
Good seeing you, man. How you doing? What's going on? What's new?
Good, good, man. How you doing?
What's new? How's your new court case for your next DUI?
Years, but I'm still about to dig into your back a little bit.
Everybody want
to
always talk shit.
I'm from Chicago, so we like to get down, you know?
Let's see what you can do in the break.
Okay, well.
He doesn't know how to talk like that.
Yeah, he does.
I can make some things move for a minute.
Okay.
He's the whitest black quarterback that ever lived.
Possibly.
Right.
Four straight years, you made it to the NFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
This time you came out.
Robert Griffin is up there.
What was different about this game against the Falcons?
We had some new faces that weren't a part of those three. And we felt like those were the pieces in Javon Curse and T.O. and Dorsey Levis that got us over the hump. And we felt like we were just invincible that year.
You broke a barrier as well.
Right.
You're facing none other than Michael Vick.
Mm-hmm.
First time we had two black quarterbacks facing off in the championship game.
The first time ever in the NFL that there's been two black quarterbacks facing each other in order to achieve that one goal, and that's to make it to the Super Bowl.
How significant is that for both of y'all?
Well, and I looked at it more for the future because it's significant for us, but it's significant for kids that were playing on the collegiate level, kids that were playing in high school, kids that were playing in Pop Warner, because it gave them the aspirations and the dreams that it could come true. It, you know what? I can play in the NFL, and I can make it to a Super Bowl. So Steve and I talked about when he made it to the Super Bowl, and I wanted to be the third. That's such an important class to be in with Doug, Steve, and now myself.
What happened against the Patriots?
When you're a quarterback or any other
position, cheaters!
Do what got you there.
Cheaters,
you know,
yeah.
Try not to do too much. I was trying to be perfect. And so some of the balls that, which I threw, obviously,
I wonder if that had anything to do with him throwing up.
And turnovers versus
I'm a Taurus Rex.
It's tough because they always come back and capitalize. Even if it's not a touchdown, you might get a field goal.
Or they'll flip the field.
You know, Tom and I, we talk every now and then. You know, we kind of talked about that. And, I mean, after that, I mean, they've won much more. So it's like all you find yourself watching is Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. But you respect them for that.
So when the game
not
is
me.
Over,
yeah.
Patriots win, where you at?
I am out there on the field.
No, you're not. You're in a locker room crying.
We have been this close so many times. We finally got here. We'll be back. And I had that confidence that the guys that I had in the locker room, that we were going to do what we needed to do to get back to this point, to redeem ourselves. I just felt like, you know what? This is going to happen to me.
I think a lot of people, when they look back at that game as well, they recall T.O. coming back. What was that dynamic like as he's coming back and then... What exactly happened?
Well, the lead into the following year, I'm thinking he'll be back healthy. You know, we had Freak. We had guys that were just elevating their game, gaining experience. We're going to be back. And so the offseason goes through, and then all of a sudden there's turmoil here and there, conversation going back and forth. And we had to answer those questions instead of focusing on what we need to do in order to get back to where we were. And I thought that was the major distraction for us. You know, he's doing sit-ups. You know, he's doing push-ups. He's playing basketball. He ordering pizza for the people out there. And we sitting there at training camp just like, you got to be kidding me.
Because it's probably on what you get in the cafeteria eating.
We're in our dorm rooms. And, you know, I'm just sitting there and I'm watching on TV.
That shit happened during the
Brian
season,
Dawkins
didn't it?
Brian Dawkins and Trotter were my roommate. Yeah. And Dawkins would come in. He's like, man, like what do you do now? I'm like, take a look. Like, this is like days of our lives. Like, it's unbelievable. But, you know, that was something that kind of broke us up. That was the most frustrating for me because I knew what we could do. And if we decided to just come together, what would we be able to accomplish?
You and T on talking terms, or what's the relationship like now?
Hey, I give a nice peace sign and keep it moving. You know, I respect
the fuck
your time.
Does that
mean? You know, I love my time. You know, and there's no need for me to try to dust off anything that happened in the past, because what was in the past is in the past. You know, he's made a few comments, you know, as of late. That's cool with me. Listen, I'm a grown man.
It's not.
I have
and
a grown
you're a
man
puss.
Business.
Thanks for kicking it with us. Okay. Subscribe to BR to check out more dope videos.
All right, that's enough of that.
Please.
Oh, my God. All right, I got to tell you this right now. Just looking at him and listening to that. Did any of it sound like he was not full of shit?
None of it sounded genuine. To help you out before I just want a quick second.
I don't want a quick second.
Okay.
From you right now, I want an overview of that entire situation. I want your take on everything that was just said because you were there, you were in the locker room, everything that took place, you were there for it. I want to hear your take.
My total assessment of the whole situation is the front office totally tried to fuck him like they do everybody
else.
T.O., yeah.
All right. He had 15 touchdowns.
Yeah, 15 touchdowns. But
why didn't he get his new contract?
He didn't get a new contract, but they were supposed to fix the way the current one was structured. They told him that if you go out, just go out, let's get this signed, because there was a lot of controversy with San Francisco trying to trade him or trying to get something for him. So they was just like, sign it and we'll fix it later. They lied to him. So then we come back.
Who does that fall on?
It falls on the front office. Because
now we're not talking about Andy at this.
We're talking about Andy and Joe Banner.
Yeah. Andy,
Joe Banner, and Tom Heckert.
Okay. Hold on, but before you go any further, my understanding was he wanted more of his money guaranteed.
Just let me finish. And okay, go ahead. See, the thing was, they had backloaded his contract. Me being a player rep, knowing that we told him not to sign that because the Eagles were known for getting rid of their players once they got 30 plus. So he signed. Andy and them told him to sign it anyway, so they could, you know, so we could push it through and we'll fix it during the off season. When the off season came,
backloaded meaning
a lot of the
$8.5 million in it at 37.
Yeah, 37.
$8.5 million.
Yeah, that was supposed to be
600,000 was his base salary, but it was like roster bonus money.
Okay.
So he wasn't going to see it.
Wait, how much was his salary?
It was a 6 or 7 year. It was 6 years, $42 million.
6 year, $42 million deal. $9 million right then, and then some other
$9 million guaranteed out of 42.
Well, $9 million right there. Yeah, but it was $9 million right there. But then it was some other guarantees.
It was progression, but most of it,
that's like, terrible.
Like, yeah.
By the time he got to that last year of the contract, his base salary would have been like $600,000.
Hey, real quick.
Right.
Josh, what do you think about all this?
I mean, he's a clown, dude. I'm
with him, though.
And I do understand. I just
wanted you to feel part of this,
yeah,
man.
I understand your thinking, but when you
Josh, do us a favor. When you talk, come a little bit closer.
Yeah, talking about, yeah. There you go.
I know you said you didn't
want
to talk.
Say it louder. He's a clown.
and I totally get that, because the ink wasn't even dry. I wouldn't have signed the contract in the first place. That's number one. Number two, he listened to the front office, and they tried to fuck him over like they do everybody else. There's been countless times where they've told somebody something about their contract, and they totally screwed him.
Okay. All right. So T.O. got screwed on his contract coming in.
Right.
All right.
So then.
Fast forward
to him him asking Donovan to say something to them about this. He said, I don't get into other people's contract situations. Then the next day or a day or two later, he's on TV talking about pay Brian Westbrook. Now, first of all, if you don't get into people's contract, you don't say anything. Just say, dude, don't get teammate and homie mixed up. We're just teammates right now. Just say that. But don't lie to the man, to his face, and then turn around and then get on national TV and do that. Then, a lot of people don't know, that first year where all this shit started was in the huddle of the New York Giants game, when T.O. kept saying, I'm open, and Donovan told him to shut the fuck up and get back in the huddle.
No! Yes. Remind me of this as we are writing your book.
Okay. don't worry, I will remind you. And you don't tell another man point blank to shut the fuck up and go anywhere without any consequences.
That's another great topic for your book, bro.
Yes.
In the huddle.
In the huddle, yes. So this is in the huddle in front of everybody. So then you fast forward.
Why didn't T.O. just drop him?
Well, that's what I was getting to. Everybody else was putting on T-shirts and hats, and T.O. was trying to get to him at the end of that game, because we won the game. We won the NFC East. T.O. was trying to get to Donovan because of what happened in the huddle. Now, so you fast forward a little bit more. He comes back. Donovan didn't have to say we didn't need T.O. to get here. If you're a team leader, you have to be a good guy.
You know
with
what?
Words.
I completely disagree with that entire statement. You know why?
Why?
I mean, first of all, the defense was stellar,
right?
So that helped, but the offense had puttered for three NFC Championship games in a row with receivers like James Trash, Todd Stinkston. The list goes on and on and
Torch
on and
balls?
On. Now, T.O. comes in,
right?
All right, and he's a stud.
Well, he makes everything easier.
He makes everybody else around him better.
Right.
And the best part was, even when he went out,
right,
it didn't matter, because I don't know the level to which, but his play elevated
everybody
else's.
Exactly.
And everybody else's. And when you got into the playoffs, it didn't matter that he wasn't there.
Right.
It really didn't.
Right.
We were breaking fucking the barn door down.
Well, yeah, but you know why everybody else's play got better? Because it was their opportunity to show what they could do. That's what healthy competition does.
Because he was getting highlighted the whole time. Hey, so I need a contract.
Why you think Fred X was doing what he was doing? He was doing what he was doing to showcase, hey, I'm a fucking first round pick, and I can play too.
Fred X.
Fred X came up big for us in the playoffs that year, and a lot of people don't give him credit. But I saw him put that title belt on a bunch of times. I still don't like L.J. Smith to this day.
Well, yeah. Who does?
For me, I think that it was Westbrook more than anything else. Because when T.O. got hurt, Westbrook had not played in the playoff game.
You want to talk about...
And when they set him down, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from... I'm not taking anything away from T.O.
Right.
But my thing is, it's not like he came into a team that was 4-12 the year before.
Right. That's
it's
true.
It's not like a team they were struggling. They had home field advantage two seasons prior to that. Well, yes, I'm not saying
Westbrook all around is probably the best running back we have ever had.
Right, but the years but what I'm saying is the years before he was not in the playoffs.
Deuce was not as effective catching the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah, because he wasn't. Because actually, against Carolina, he dropped a 50-yard touchdown pass that he would have.
Deuce wasn't here then.
Yes, he was. He dropped
the
pass.
In Pittsburgh.
No,
here we
against Carolina.
Look, in the championship our future. I love our future offensive coordinator, Philadelphia Eagles. Hear
that? Who's that?
Deuce.
Oh yes, I love it. They made him.
Huh?
No,
I'm putting in plugs for him.
Okay. Oh, okay. Because I don't want Mike Kafka.
That's breaking news.
Kafka. Yeah.
Let's move on from that.
Okay.
Donovan and T.O., can't we just put them in the ring?
We need to. But when you look at this is one thing you look at also. when they sent T.O. home during training camp, he was already pissed. So some of the a lot of the bitch ass offensive coaches was walking by and was like, hey T.O. And so T.O., he got sent home because he said, hey, don't talk to me. If you have something to say to me, tell my receiver coach and he will relay it to me.
Oh, okay.
So
it's like they were teasing him.
Exactly, they were fucking teasing him, and nobody will say anything about that. And it was funny because wasn't nobody looking on TV at this shit. Yeah. Everybody was in awe of this bullshit because they tried to fuck over him like they've done players in the past, and he just didn't let it happen.
Yeah,
and that's right. And when the dust settles, as a teammate, I feel like both of those guys and the front office owe the city a ring.
I think more than anything else, he exposed the front office. Because you remember when Trotter left
on a bad note too.
But it was the front office.
But also the same thing that T.O. echoed out of his own mouth was, I trusted Andy Reid. That's when they deactivated him.
Kelly.
They let him talk all the shit they wanted about Donovan. The minute he attacked the front office, it was an issue. Because the same thing he said, you said when you renegotiated your contract, because you asked for a trade long before T.O. that same season.
I did too.
That same season. And of course it was overshadowed, but it was the same thing.
Yeah.
All right.
But basically it was the front office.
This is the relaxed show,
to let you know how messed up the front office was, they offered me a contract that they offered Tim Hutton.
The punter. The fucking punter.
And guess who stepped in and said, yeah, out your motherfucking mind? Ray Rhodes.
Really?
that's why he's always been my guy. He's like, he plays every fucking down. How y'all gonna offer him some bullshit like that?
Yep.
He was actually scared of Ray.
You know what? We're 5:35 right now.
Yes.
I didn't want to spend this much time on everything we just spent time on.
Don't worry about it. This is a podcast. We can do what we want.
We can. We do what I want. I want to get to two other things here before we take a break.
Okay.
We're gonna spend no more than 4 minutes on these.
Okay.
But if you have not heard, the Saints go hiding in.
What happened?
Oh, this is a
you got some Saints information.
Oh, about. This is awful.
Breaking news.
Where's the Bloomberg? The New Orleans Saints' involvement in Catholic abuse scandal explained.
Oh.
The New Orleans Saints are attempting to shield hundreds of emails that allegedly show team executives advising the public relations efforts of the Archdiocese of New Orleans amid sexual abuse claims. According to an Associated Press report released Friday, attorneys representing those suing the church obtained 276 documents that show the team aiding the Archdiocese in its pattern and practice of concealing its crimes, as stated in a court filing.
Wow.
The Saints attorney argued the emails were intended to be private. What the fuck is that argument? The Archdiocese is also attempting to stop the emails, which were exchanged in 2018 and 2019, from being released to the public.
Wow.
The Saints are connected to the Archdiocese through owner Gail Benson. Wow. Benson has reportedly donated millions to Catholic institutions throughout New Orleans, and she purportedly shares a close friendship with the New Orleans Archbishop Greg Amond.
Mm.
The Archbishop is a regular guest of Benson's at Saints games, as well as charity events for the church. She inherited the Saints along with the New Orleans Pelicans when her husband Tom Benson died in 2018.
That's my guy.
According to the Associated Press report, the email sent from Saints staffers advised church officials on responding to sexual abuse allegations.
Ooh.
Attorneys for the men suing the church say multiple Saints personnel, including Senior Vice President of Communications Greg Benzel, used their team email to advise church officials on messaging and how to soften the impact of the Archdiocese release of a list of clergy members credibly accused of sexual abuse.
Wow, wow, man.
The information at issue bears a relationship to these crimes because it is a continuation of the Archdiocese pattern and practice of concealing its crimes so that the public does not discover its criminal behavior.
Mm.
And the Saints joined in.
Wow, when you said Greg,
Now, this might be a great time to say that Mike Stanfield, VP of Sales, is a complete fucking douchebag.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Let me say that again. Mm. This is not fact. I cannot be sued for libel or slander, and it's my show. Mike Stanfield, VP of Sales, is a complete fucking douchebag. My opinion. Mike, I hope you hear this. And this might be a great time to expose, when I asked you if I could get my Saints season tickets back, that you wanted $25,000 in cash from me.
Whoa, Nelly.
Cold-blooded.
So, I hope this gets to you, fuckhead.
Wow. Just like that. That's really bad. Ah, man. That's the worst shit in the world.
How about that, man? Josh is just sitting here shaking his head.
Yeah, because
I'm crazy.
Because
there's no coming back.
Get on the mic.
That, man.
Get on the mic.
It's like, yeah, you say
scoot
you,
up a little bit.
It doesn't matter what you say to that. You're still at wrong. Yeah, there's no coming back from that.
Well, hold on, when their defense is these emails were intended to be private.
Exactly.
That's almost a complete admittance of guilt.
In the immortal words of the Democratic chairperson that stepped in after the emails of everybody else got out, I don't put nothing on email. If you want to talk to me, you come to my office. That's what she. This is distinctly what she said. She's like, these people think that you're Teflon, that you're bulletproof. It's like people go back
crazy,
and search emails.
Crazy
and
shit.
The fact that you think that's a fucking defense lets us know you're guilty.
Exactly. That's exactly.
And we talking about kids, man. It's like,
We don't want to get too much into it, but you know what? It needs to be talked about.
Yeah,
though.
It needs
to come to light because it needs to fucking stop.
Yes. Period. Point blank. Stop. Yes.
We can all sit here and pretend that we're well. No, we can all sit here and claim that we're uncomfortable with the conversation, and we are.
I'm not uncomfortable with it
because the images that I'm conjuring in my head make me sick to my stomach.
I'm ready to retribution. Kill. Exactly.
But it has to be talked about because it has to end.
Yes,
because
we need to
enough.
Defend. The kids are innocent. We need to fucking defend.
Exactly.
Them. Yeah. It's just point blank. It's like you can't have these people who they're supposed to love and trust treating them bad like this. That's not cool on any stretch by any stretch of the means.
Mm-hmm. All right, one more thing before we go.
Okay, one more thing before we go.
We go to break.
What's up, Marshall?
Because we're going to get to Super Bowl stories in a moment.
Wow. Yeah, it needs to be had.
When we come back on Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio, we are going to talk to Hollis and all of his experiences in Super Bowl.
What was the Super Bowl? I don't remember.
Thanks, man. You're supposed to be my go-to guy here.
I have head injuries. And I've been drinking
Super
Johnny
Bowl
Walker.
15 years less than the one we won. 37.
Was it 37?
37?
Something like that.
37? I don't know.
I got to give you the jersey.
Diaz, what's up?
Diaz finally showed up. Gee,
yeah,
thanks.
It was 37 because this is 52.
But let's talk about one thing. I just want to mention it.
Okay.
And I just want everybody's take on it down the row.
Kelly said it's Super Bowl 39. Thank you, Kelly.
Kelly's 13 nice. Years?
She said, I think.
No.
No. 37. Kelly, I was trying to give you some props.
Hold on.
She's my girl. She always listens to me.
She had Super Bowl.
What is
2004 was Super Bowl. Oh, she's right. 39.
You were right, Kelly. Mm-hmm.
Kelly.
Kelly's right. Kelly. You're back on my list.
Oh my God, I'm thinking of it right now, not two years ago. So Drew Rosenhaus, the biggest whore when it comes to representing
players, yes.
Other than Scott Boras.
Yeah, Scott Boras is worse.
Well, actually, Scott Boras is just a dick. Drew's a whore. I met Drew when I was friends with Jeremy Shockey living in South Beach. I actually rented Jeremy Shockey's penthouse from him when he played in New Orleans.
Before you finish, Kelly wanted me to say boom.
Kelly, I'm sorry. And I'd love to put a boom on your forehead.
Oh, wow.
There you go. Did it too soon? Too soon?
Too soon?
Yeah.
Strike. Hey, Diaz, move Josh.
Move to strike.
We already did.
Well, you did? When?
What up, Dick?
Good. I was getting a drink.
Yeah, oh, okay. When? Just move some of that shit. Just.
Oh, you can move the.
No, don't sit on it. Just move one of them.
Or move the box.
Yeah.
Like,
there you go.
What is your deal?
Yeah, we got a lot going on here. We're making changes. When Drew Rosenhaus, the biggest whore when it comes to sports agents, says, "I'm sorry, but I can no longer represent Antonio Brown."
Oh God!
If anybody out there is supporting Antonio Brown, really, dude, come on.
But not only that. But not only that. If you're not no longer supporting Antonio Brown, to what you're saying, give him his 3% back. Give it back to him.
Oh, okay.
Give it back to him.
But he didn't make anything.
No. He got his up front.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So when it, give it back to him. Normally as a player, when you get your signing bonus,
you understand Drew's worth more than every player. that ever made any money.
But you give him his 3% of the entire contract, so you don't have to fuck with him no more. But he still has to work with you.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree. So. Diaz, give me a shot of Jamie.
and Sean says that Drew is a bigger dick.
Okay.
Then,
who?
Sean, that's a friend. Sean, he said. Sean,
oh, Sean.
He said gotcha. Drew is a bigger dick than the other guy. He said.
Josh, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, there was a sliver in time in the need of us having a wide receiver where I was giving him a slight benefit of the doubt.
Thank God, right?
But no,
listen, nah.
Listen, you weren't one of those guys, were you?
It'd have been another TO.
It was a sliver. It was.
No,
a sliver.
I think it might have been worse.
It way worse. And to what you're saying, Josh, every jackass kept talking about go get Josh Gordon, go get Antonio Brown. Yeah. What the hell for?
Shut your mouth.
Thank you. What the hell for? Both of them were no longer. Did you see the video of Antonio Brown with the guitar? Even the models, and they were making money. They were uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Everything about him is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Did you see the ESPN special? 30 for 30?
I had watched, yeah.
Ah, man. Ah.
What up, Jay Jack?
He's a mental. Yep. Mental.
Yeah, something wrong with him.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, I believe that it's more mental.
When I was because they said, Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
They've tracked his behavior since high school, man. He's been doing some of the same stuff. Even worse.
Cheers. Let's go, boys.
Yeah, cheers.
All right.
Hey, to my cheers. Sister.
To your sister. Get better.
Mm-hmm. Vontaze Burfict is to Jadeveon Clowney as Jadeveon Clowney is to Vontaze Burfict. Pops, your take real quick, and then we're going to break.
It's simple. He needs his head examined.
He needs help.
Yeah, from high school. it's documented that he was tearing up coaches' offices and everything all the way back to high school.
Really?
So it's something going on with him. Yeah. That's why he slipped so far in the draft because he did the same thing in college.
Oh.
And it keeps repeating. Now that, I mean, he might be an attention whore.
Yeah.
Definitely that. But it's like one of those things to where when people just.
Hey, all athletes are.
Yeah, but you have to, you have to treat him like
a
class.
I like the spotlight being on me.
But you know how when you had a class clown and the teacher tells everybody to ignore him?
Mm-hmm. So how did it feel to be both?
Well, I've never been a class clown because you met my mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
You met my mom, and she will. Where you show out, Josh. Where you show out is where you get wore out.
Oh my God!
She will destroy you at school in front of the class.
Yes.
So
I still have nightmares. Hold on.
You don't mess with.
Ms. Wait. Thomas?
What was
Ms. Thomas?
No.
Which one?
What's the nickname?
Which one?
Your mom's
buttons.
Buttons.
You don't mess with buttons. I know. I'll get yelled at. Mama Thomas, I apologize. I needed to bring that to light. But all right, you guys, we are going to take a quick break here on the Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by the Green Legion. We'll be back with more right after this. right, everybody. We're back on the Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio. Mike Diaz is in studio.
What is up, everyone?
Put on your headset, sucker.
Good to have you back.
And the last thing on, man.
Hey, that song just made me happy. That reminded me of when Lito Shepherd showed up at our pep rally party at the Parrot, and Tree busted out the Lito Shuffle.
That was awesome.
Fucking great, man.
Yeah.
So we're an hour in already, and that's okay because we do what we want.
Yeah, we do what we want.
I don't want to spend more than 15 more minutes. But this is a segment that you're going to. You're going to get a little insight on Hollis's book that'll be coming out sometime this year. Yep.
Okay.
It's right now we are not in the Super Bowl, and I get it. You know, it's a bummer, but I think we all kind of knew.
Yeah.
You know, this was going to take place, and in all fairness, you know, I'm proud as hell of this team for what they were able to accomplish with the constraints that they had, the injury bug that they continue to get beat by. Front office, I think you should take a massive look at the medical staff. We're not bringing that up for discussion. Follow the New York Yankees.
No.
The Yankees got busted by it last year. They reevaluated. You have to look at what's taking place. But right now, we have number 78 from your Philadelphia Eagles, who was in Super Bowl 39 and knows everything about what players and coaches are going through right now.
Dear Lord.
Before a Super Bowl.
You're right.
And he's here to talk to us about just shit, everything.
No.
Stories, things that took place while he was there.
Right.
And Hollis, the
floor is mine.
The Wally world is yours.
Good things. First of all, if you guys have any questions while I'm speaking about this, just go ahead and ask. First of all, the leading up to the Super Bowl, you remember the first week we were practicing, and we were practicing here, obviously. We were still in awe and in total blitz about, you know, making it to the Super Bowl. So then it's that proverbial, as leading up to it, it's getting all your family members and all the stuff. Everybody gets tickets and how many tickets you get and all that stuff. So you try to accommodate everybody, but in trying to accommodate everybody, it's also people that come out the woodwork who you don't even talk to. You don't. It's like people come, hey, I'm your distant cousin. Yeah, way distant, son of a bitch. Sorry about that, but this is my show. You remember you taped my show.
It's all good.
Okay, it's all good. So you try to get everybody accommodated, and once you get all that stuff going, then you concentrate on the game a little bit, and the game plan in general, because we have the 2 weeks. So then, this weekend, I guess coming up, you get to travel. You travel down to wherever the Super Bowl site was. Ours obviously was Jacksonville,
Florida. City, right? Great, yeah. Awesome.
Fuck, you know.
Yeah, it's a party destination city, from what I understand. Yeah.
Jacksonville is fucking hard.
I'm just kidding.
He's sarcastic. Sarcastic.
Oh my God! Former coach of the Georgetown Hoyas, John Thompson, is watching.
Mm. Oh wow, that's cool.
Oh, cool.
I'm kidding.
You're bullshitting.
Stinger, what up?
Did you get a big welcome from Eagles fans down there, or is it kind of under the cover of darkness you show up?
Well, no, we got down there during the day, and there was a big show of Eagles fans that showed up for us. So you get down there, but unbeknownst to me, like I'm going to say it now because it comes up later in the story. They ask you whether you're going to need a car to get around and all this other stuff, and they're telling you it's free. They're telling you they're taking care of everything. But trust me, later on you're going to pay for that shit. So then you get one room that you could it was one room at one specific hotel that was like one of the team hotels, but then you got the option to get some other rooms. Now, this is where the fuckery comes in.
Yeah.
Because
hey, you guys my Facebook live feed, I'm going to bring you over to Hollis.
Yes.
Because you don't need to see me right now.
I'm going
to
talk to you later, Kelly. But we're talking Super Bowl stories in general. So as when we get down there, you got the first 2 days of practice. You go out and practice stuff, and you know you're trying not to eat everything in sight because they I'm talking about the fucking spread is laid out like nobody's business. They got gourmet cooks and stuff cooking. And so the first highlight to me was that Tuesday, which was media, was one of the media days. So you had one of the media days, and it's down there where we eat breakfast at in the hotel, which was awesome. So you have all the media outlets and stuff, and all the chicks that you want to see up close and personal. I'm just saying.
The Playboy party?
Yeah, the play. Pretty. No, it was just the open media day. So the first day was on that Tuesday. So they come down, and you. I'm sitting there with a newspaper because at that point I wasn't a starter. And
you were always a starter.
Hey, so I'm sitting at a table, and then they had everybody else at the little podium and stuff. So I'm sitting there, and so I, you know, it's going pretty smoothly. But the fireworks doesn't start until that next day. You know, the fireworks doesn't start until that next day.
Oh, I thought you said the fireworks Doug started.
No. You know why the fireworks didn't start today?
Media day?
No, after media day. It's Wednesday because our families came into town on that Wednesday, and guess what happened? Everybody, they had us in a plush hotel, and they had our families in the slanty shanties.
The Hampton Inn? The Quality Inn?
It was something of that nature.
So let me ask you a question about that.
Sure. Hold on.
Yeah, because he knows the story. He was part of it.
So where were the coaches' family?
Coaches' families and wives were staying in the same hotel we were staying in.
I just saw an alley oop, a lob in softball, and an out and up with a D-back bit in the first 5 yards.
And I'm about to kill it too because on that same night the wives had a meeting, and
was it Tammy?
Tammy Reed told them to shut the fuck up and be happy that you're here.
Hold on, say that again.
So basically the hotels that they had are the guy's significant others, because I've never been married. My family was staying in a hotel, but it still wasn't up to par.
It kind of lied.
Basically, it was close.
La Quinta Inn.
Hotel
Coral.
So the wives had a meeting because, you know, it was a wives committee, and so Tammy Reed told them to shut the fuck up and be happy that you're here.
Also,
ouch!
But didn't she get into it with Donovan's mom?
She got into it with Ms.
Oh my God! I heard that woman is a concrete bitch too.
No, yeah, but she.
But this was valid.
This was valid.
Valid.
Oh, really? This was valid because the next morning.
No! I want to keep bashing Donovan.
I'm not. We can't. But so the next morning, I was on the players committee. The next morning, we have to have an emergency meeting. And I'm like,
really?
And I'm like, what the fuck? Because I don't have a spouse. So David Akers, who's on the committee, he brings a pair of socks, of kids' socks, and they look like a pair of shucks. You know, you saying what shucks are? Those are socks with shoes on the bottom,
right?
And they were a pair of socks that the bottom had turned black, and the kid had been walking around for an hour at the hotel that they had our people
staying. Oh, around. God.
So,
wow.
the emergency meeting was to talk about what was said and how it was said and how things happened. So, I'm sitting in the meeting, and I'm like, my folks haven't really been complaining, because even though you have them staying in the slanty shanty, it wasn't where we were staying at, which was god awful, and it pretty much if you want to blame on anything. I feel like that part, like, pretty much ate at the guys more than anything, because you're standing in the
Do you think it affected your play?
Not mine.
Let me ask you another question. How were the Patriots' accommodations? What were theirs like?
They were fucking awesome.
This was the team's responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Accommodations. And not only that, but your wife tells everybody else's wife to shut the fuck up and be happy that you're there.
Nobody stepped up and punched her.
Nobody stepped up and punched her, but it was.
Couldn't you have had? Couldn't you have had buttons in that meeting?
Buttons
would have clocked her.
I know, but I wasn't there. My mom wasn't there because it was the NFL wives. So
wow,
and so after that happened, it seemed like, you know what? It seemed like the day before the practice was fucking awesome, but it seemed like the wind was totally let out of our sail. Now, I digress, because you get back
once in a lifetime, and you get to stay in a fucking trailer park.
But I didn't understand why the coaches had their families at the country club that they rented.
Exactly.
So they can be comfortable. But yet yeah, the players family, were scrambling yeah. the whole day,
yeah.
finding their people, yeah. and then actually renting homes or whatever yeah. the case was. Yeah, we were fine where we were at.
Because it was bad. It was roaches. You heard about the Sox.
I like roaches.
It was like bed bugs and just all kind of crazy stuff.
So once we get past that, you know, you get
bed bugs are fun.
No, they're
not. Oh, and just so everybody knows, right now, Eli Manning is on television retiring.
Nobody gives a fuck.
There's a little bit earlier. We'll cover that later, too.
Yeah, you'll cover
it
later.
You haven't done it already.
I really don't give a
sorry.
Damn.
Continue,
Al. So as the week progresses, you get all your ticket stuff, and then you're partying a little bit, and he keeps giving you a curfew during the nights when you – they say act like it's a normal week. In a normal week, I don't have a fucking curfew on Thursday and Friday.
Right.
So it's like – but some of us got to go out.
Hold on. We already know that Donovan was out the night before.
Because my mom and dad yeah. were fairly young at the time, so they still like kicked it like No Limit Soldiers, and apparently so did Donovan. So
go ahead, say it.
What, No Limit Soldiers?
Who was out the night before the Super Bowl?
They say Donovan was.
Is that what Terrell Owens is saying?
Terrell Owens is saying that you threw up.
Yeah, yeah.
But he threw up every time we was in Florida.
If you remember the Tampa game in Tampa 2006. Game.
Yeah, but go back to the Jacksonville game also. My boy J-Jack had to move the huddle. He's not going to say anything. They don't say anything. So when you look at the whole ordeal and then the ineptibility of them to make adjustments, and not only that, it's like they showed a flash on the screen during the Super Bowl where it looked like Bill Belichick said, "Oh, we ahead."
Because we're taking our time.
But more than that, leading up to the game, I think the best part was the former two presidents coming in and shaking our hands and stuff, and then like seeing all the stars and stuff. And it's just something. The thing that I don't think the guys after that point will ever get a chance to experience was the opening kickoff. The opening kickoff.
The flash bulbs
were so fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah.
If you've never seen anything, it's like because you're sitting there and you're on the sideline, and everybody sees this clip, and the cameras from NFL Films there is like, is this my close up? And I give them the people's eyebrow, but at like right
giving them the rock.
Yeah, like literally
from Be Cool.
Yeah,
but he's got this eyebrow thing.
Yeah, but literally right after that, that's when the kickoff was about to set up, and all those flash bulbs start going off in succession around the rim of that stadium. Mm. That is like, you see, I still get chill bumps to this day when I talk about that.
You won't see that anymore, too, because everyone's got a phone. Everybody's back then, it was actual cameras.
Right.
It was so sweet. But to get into that game and to be doing it and to know everybody was watching that game, it was the most awesome thing known to man. And it's like,
yeah, baby, yeah.
Yep. And but then the weirdest thing though I think is after the game and you get the bill for all the stuff that they said was free. it's like wait, what's the? It's like you get your check from Super Bowl and it's like all these deductions. You're like, what the fuck is this? You said that was free.
They said you don't have to pay for that.
Now.
Hey, said, hey, you guys don't have to pay for that.
Not now.
I thought comp meant you don't have to pay for it.
Mm. That's funny.
Yeah, because they gave you a comp two. They gave you a comp four tickets, and I think they comp one of the rooms. Well, they said they comp one of the rooms. Mm. Sons of bitches, fucking Chuck Norris.
Wow.
I wonder where Michael Bolton was.
Did everybody get equal checks for the Super Bowl?
The pay grade in the playoffs is the same all the way around. You can win up to $126,000. I think it's $126,000 total if you win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
The Super Bowl is 75 for the winner, 35 for the loser.
Okay. Yeah, so. But what about playoff games leading up?
Playoff game leading up, the wild card is 10 or 15 now. 10.
Okay.
I think it's 15 now. Okay. I think it's 15 now because they go up.
That's not a whole lot.
That's not a whole lot, but it's, you know, if you don't
you're have still there.
Yeah, but it's money.
You're getting a contract the next year.
Well, no. It was money that you didn't account for.
Right.
So then,
what about division?
Division, I think is I think it's either 24 or 35.
What about
championship?
35.
Okay. Super Bowl winner 75 and loser 35.
All right. Gotcha.
So plus the winner also gets all those. That endorsements.
Seems. I'm not gonna lie. That seems fucking light.
Right. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Really light.
Very light. And just to think of all the money that they make during that time.
Well, $2 million for a 30-second commercial during the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think that's low. $2 million.
Well, that was like 10 years ago. You know,
it's up there now.
Wow. Any other Super Bowl stories you want to share?
Let's see. We went to a bunch of parties. I saw Stephen A. Smith and everybody was out. I saw Keyshawn. I don't know why. I didn't like Keyshawn from you know, I used to be an Adidas.
How about rapper. New?
Have Adidas contract.
Oh, nice!
And
I like
so,
Adidas.
The only reason I remember this is because my boy Rashard Cook, he's a former Eagles DB.
Yeah, I remember. Cooksy,
Cooksy say don't ever get teammate and homie mixed up.
Ah.
So I didn't know what he meant until like when I was on the we had a wear test with Adidas.
I'm telling you guys. It's
round. It's round. Hey, so we on the wear test. So
it's
I tell,
round.
I tell Keyshawn. I knew a couple of guys that went to USC with him, and I tell him I know them. So now all of a sudden I'm his best friend on the trip on the wear test. So then the next time I see him, he acts like he don't even see me. So I didn't even say what's up to him because I could tell his what's calling. Then that's when I knew. What Rashard Cook meant. Don't get teammate and homie mixed up.
All right.
I got a Super Bowl question.
Yeah. Please.
What was the you guys went into the locker room at halftime with the lead. What was the locker room? What was it like? What was the atmosphere? Was there confidence? I mean, obviously there's confidence, but you know, what was going on in there? Because, you know, we're out there. Who was performing? I don't remember who it was. Who performed at halftime?
Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney. Yeah, we're listening to
Hey Jude.
Well, see, with the halftime adjustments, I know we came in and Jim Johnson was saying that we're gonna keep hitting him up the gut with up the gut pressure because that was getting to him, and it was something else. We were down a DB, so it was like because Roderick Hood couldn't stay hydrated, so that was another thing that jacked us up, and then Ty Pinkston, he had. Towards Achilles tendon, which would
wait. Breaking news: Todd Pinkston had an Achilles.
I mean, you said that, but he had about 80 yards receiving at half.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, and see, and he was like, even though everybody always talks shit about him, he was like one of the only guys that would catch those deep balls.
He did. He was your separator.
Right.
He was the one that pulled the safety.
Right.
And you know, I'm sure, because Diaz knows this.
Right.
All right. When Gary Basford was my quarterback.
I remember him.
Okay. Oh, bro. All right. I was actually a pretty good receiver. Good hand possession receiver. Yeah. But I was also fast, believe it or not. And every time the ball was not coming to me, it was just, all right, you guys do this, you know.
Hey, you're a deep boy.
57, 80, you know. Quimby, go long. And I'm just running the fucking nine straight down the sideline, pulling somebody away. Those are the days.
that was 10 years and 60 pounds ago.
No. 2012. Oh my God, that's almost 10 years.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, man. Interesting.
Wow.
But in any event, that was pretty much what it was.
Yeah, I gotcha.
That was this day in history.
This day in history.
All right. Gentlemen, we're going to finish up here on Green Legion, or on Get Tanked.
Get Tanked. Happy Hour.
Powered by Green Legion. We got the Diaz and Sack show coming up momentarily. We're going to take a short 7-minute break to. Switch out. Diaz is going to run the show after that. We will be back. Diaz is going to run the show by himself for the first.
Well, we got a great replacement for Sack. You got to stay tuned.
Great replacement for Sack.
Just for today.
And you guys, we appreciate you tuning in. And more to come on GreenLegionRadio.com. Boom.